Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. King Shah. Say that.
Yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep the rest of still God. Still going hard by. Then they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. Yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep it fresh, still God. Still going hard by. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that.
Yeah, they wonder how we do that. Christ praise these truth friends. Gotta tell you where my mood at. Mountains, they go move that. Holy pistol, I'ma shoot that. Dang, dang, demons, lay back. Better watch where you pray at. Shot on top like a webcam. Chase, save, know they hate that. Ray J when I sing that. One wish, I'ma pray that. Watch the wife if you look
that. It's
out, it's out, it's out. Head smoking like a coffee. Not do what I'm a cop. I guess you gotta learn the hard way.
When it come to praise, we do it all day. Shout out to the Father Yahweh.
Yahweh.
And my prayer stands bowfing.
Bow
we coming through screaming holly.
Holly.
Yeah, and we about to bring it to you. Already rich without chasing moolah. The world ain't helping Christians make maneuvers. Speak the truth, they never needed their approval.
Nah.
The word is God saying, mama. I don't really care what they talking about. I'ma make the point finger with the rock. Throwing in the air with the tongue out.
Tongue
get a beat, hot, fucking burst, though. But recognize from the first quote. We are bold in Christ when we hold the mic. Homie, get it. Right,
yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep the fresh, still God. Still going hard by. And they wonder how we do that. 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 Yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep the fresh, still God. Still going hard by. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that. And they wonder how we do that.
You gotta call a better answer than your past in hell. I don't care about the hands. I'm trying to make it into hell. I'm trying to save all my bread. Get a Bible, that's my way.
Yeah,
I'm strong, get in the Lord. No, I'm never flex. Y'all want the green like CeeLo. See your soul get repo.
Give me that.
Spirit fix Home Depot. I want the hardest trio. Castor, gotta be the chemo. Yeah, write it in Creole.
Yeah,
gotta be my hero. To follow the cheat code.
Don't play games with God, he got the cheat code. Jesus gave his life to save people. Spirit give us orders, we go. Ain't seen the type of Christmas people. We be up in the streets for real though. Telling brothers what they feel and kill folks. This is working so, they feel hopeless though. That's what they sip and lean and pop and pill folks. Trying to lead us to the Savior. To repent from evil type behavior. And the favor from the Creator. We will teach you also keep you in prayer. We are more than just a rap guy. We are saved, sanctified, and baptized. My goal is only to impact lives. Hope the sound guides you like a backline.
Yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep the fresh, still God. Still going hard by. And they wonder how we do that. 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 Yeah, Holy Ghost party. Many members, one body. Keep the fresh, still God. Still going hard by. And they wonder how we do that. 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 And they wonder how we do that.
Praise God. Give God the glory on tonight. It is such a blessing to be here with God in presence with God's people. Amen. I thank God for his grace and his mercy on tonight. And tonight we are so blessed. We are blessed, highly favored of the Lord. He has chosen us for such a time as this for a word in due season. How many of you know that it is miraculous, amazing, fulfilling to be chosen of the Lord? Amen. To be given a grace to be in his presence every day, all day. Every day, all day, I have the access to intimacy with God every day, all day. And tonight, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about learning a lifestyle of intimacy with God. And Prophetess Michelle Lopez, our very own, our love, she is our family, is going to come in and teach this thing and drop the mic. Amen. But first, you know, the Lord just led me to the definition of intimacy. The definition of intimacy, according to the Webster's Dictionary, is close familiarity or friendship, closeness, coziness, a rapport, a attachment. How many of you know to have intimacy is a direct correlation with relationship? And so tonight, I know the woman of God has so much to unpack tonight, and I'm not going to tarry the time because I know that tonight the Lord wants to speak a word of intimacy. He wants to speak a word of hope. He wants to speak a word that is going to set the captives free on tonight. I give God praise because I may not have all the answers, but our God, our Lord, our Savior, our King, He has the answer. And the scripture reading for tonight is going to come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. And it says, but if one loves God truly, affectionate, reverent, prompted, obedient, and grateful recognition of His blessing, he is known by God, recognized as worthy of his intimacy and love, and his own, and is owned by him. So the word is saying that when you are intimate with God, amen, holy, holy Lord, when you are intimate with God, the holiness of God, the commandments of the Lord, hallelujah. When we are in an intimate place with Him, the Word says we are known by Him. We are owned by Him. We are recognized as worthy by Him. If somebody needs to release a shout tonight, we are saved by grace. Amen. Through the intimacy and relationship of the Lord on tonight. And before we get started, I want to pray, and I want to cover this line. We're also going to be lifting up Prophetess from Shauna Jones. She was with us on last night, and the enemy tried to come in and attack. And so we want to pray for her as well. So I'm asking all the intercessors to begin to pray as we pray. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we release the power and the strength of the blood of Jesus. We decree and declare, Father God, every attack of the enemy to be forward, to be nullified, to be rendered powerless. Lord, we decree and declare the blood of Jesus over this line, over the speakers, over the listeners. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, Father God, that you will arrest the enemy right where he stands. We plead the blood. We remind the spirit realm of the blood. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that is caused us, Father God, in Jesus' name, to be released from the bondage and the captivity of sin. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we call out the angelic host to roar and defend, Father God, those who are on the front lines, Father. We pray for every leader. We pray for those who have chosen to submit. We pray for those who have chosen the way above all ways in Jesus' name. We call forth the will. We call forth the strength of God. We call forth, Father God, your power and your authority. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. We decree healing, Father God, to move across this line. We send the word of healing to the north, the east, the south, and the West. Father God, is a servant of the living God, I decree that all weapons of warfare be left on the battlefield. I command the enemy to loose his weapons against the people of God right now and to retreat.
by the blood. And so tonight, as the woman of God gets ready to go forth, mount a hedge of fire round and about her. And I decree and declare, Father God, that no weapon formed against her will prosper.
Yes, God.
And I thank you, Lord, that you are renewing strength right now. I hear you, Lord. You are renewing strength, Lord God, for those who had just had a long day and the enemy tried to weary you, just tried to have you tired for no reason. I decree a renewing of strength right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Father, what is left is of you. We pray that no word will be spoken tonight that is not you.
Yes, God.
And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And so I give God praise, and I thank God for his angelic protection. And I thank God for my sister friend, the BFF. Amen. Prophet Michelle Lopez, God bless you, woman of God. How are you tonight?
God bless you. I'm good. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited and stirred to hear the word that the Lord has deposited in your spirit. Amen. And because I know your life, I know that the time has been spent to really hear from God, and it is exciting to receive that edification, that comfort, that exhortation from heaven that is going to cover the people of God like a warm blanket tonight. And so I am not going to tarry the time any longer, woman of God, and I am going to drop the mic, and I just want you to let God use you. Amen. Don't look at the time. Don't look at what shoulda, coulda, woulda. Let God use you, and I'm excited to hear what God has released through you. God bless you, and the mic is yours.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Smith, for the invitation and the privilege to speak to your people and release what God has given me today. It's something that has been heavy on my heart because I see a lot of saints that want to have a closer relationship with God, and sometimes they feel stuck, or sometimes they feel like they don't know which way to go. Is it right? Is it not right? And God has just been laying on my heart this intimacy. It's all about the intimacy with him. And so tonight I'm going to speak on an atmosphere of intimacy with the Lord. So let me pray real quick before we start. Father God, thank you for this opportunity, Father, to speak to your people, Lord. Let the words that come out of my mouth be all you, Father God, and none of me. Let me take a seat, Father God, and you rise up. Father, speak to your people. Dissect this message in so many different ways to minister to each and every individual that's listening to this line right now on the broadcast or on a later time. Father God, we thank you for everything that you're doing right now in this day and in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with Ephesians 2:19-22. And it says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." See that last part of that verse right there? We're being built to be a dwelling place for God. The dwelling place for his Spirit to rise up and reign, a dwelling place for him to take hold of everything that we need, everything that we desire, everything that we need in our families to be done, such as salvation for other people. You know, sometimes like me right now, I have children who know the Lord, who got saved, and now they're going through their own journey. But my job is to still pray and to still keep my dwelling place a place for the Spirit of God, because it's through me that people are going to see who he really is. It's through me, through my word, that people are going to know who Christ really is. And an atmosphere of holiness is just a place of holiness, praise, worship, and prayer. And that's what the Holy Spirit needs in order to reside in us. He needs a clean dwelling place. When you have the fruit of the Spirit in you, you create an atmosphere that is conducive for the presence of the Holy Spirit. That means I'm taking on everything that God said I need to be. I need to be patient. I need to be love. I need to have self-control. I need to have all of the fruits of the Spirit in order for me to have that dwelling place for Him, in order for Him to feel welcome in this temple. Because we all know that our bodies are not really ours. We're just a rental space, if you want to look at it like that, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in, to take hold, for God to live in, for Him to do what He needs to do and what He wants to do as far as His will goes in our life and in the lives of people that we come in contact with every day. You know, if you look at my life, I would have never thought I would be in this position. I would have never thought that I would be a prophet. I would never thought that I would be called of God. I lived such an immoral life because I didn't know what I was missing. I grew up in a Catholic background, and I didn't know that God can speak to me. I didn't know that I can have this intimate relationship with Him. I didn't know that I can actually speak to Him and He speaks back. I never knew that. You know, when I grew up, I thought that it was just, you know, you pray to Mary and Mary takes care of everything. But it's past that. It's past that. It's a real relationship that happens. A relationship like me and you and the relationship we have with our friends, our family members, our coworkers, people we come in contact on a daily basis. It's a real relationship that takes place when we have an intimate relationship with God. You create and impact your spirit by the atmosphere you choose, meaning I have to choose my atmosphere. I can choose to be, you know, peaceful. I can choose to be loving. I can choose to be patient. I can choose to be all of that, or I can choose to have hatred. I can choose to have anger. I can choose to walk in a way that is not pleasing in the sight of God. If your atmosphere is worldly with things like anger, hatred, lust, and immorality, you end up attracting demonic spirits to impact your spirit and atmosphere. That means that these demonic spirits will come, they will take hold, they will take root, and the dwelling place where God is supposed to reside, they will reside. And they will come and wreak havoc in your life. And we've already lived all of that before we came to the Lord. Before we got saved, we live that kind of life, the immorality, the anger, the hatred, all of this stuff. We've already been there, done that, got the T-shirt for it, and we became better now. Now that we're better, we're not supposed to go back. We're not supposed to go and deal with those very same issues that were holding us bound. We're not supposed to go and take on, you know, take on these things of the world, take on these demonic attributes. We're not supposed to do that. God has something better. And see, what the enemy doesn't want you to see is that he could have killed you when you were in the world. He could have did that when you were in the world. But God saved you for such a time as this, for such a purpose as this, that you would be here right now listening to this call, saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, wanting a change, wanting to do better, wanting to go somewhere else in life besides the life that you once lived that didn't edify you, didn't build you, didn't do anything for you. James 1, 21 and 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, we go to church, we have Bible study, we hear all these different things that God is saying through the different vessels that He has chosen. But are we doing what the word says? Are we living that out? Are we taking on what God wants from us? Because what I come to learn is that wisdom is the application of the things that you've learned. So wisdom comes when we're learning the word of God, when we're spending time seeing what he wants, seeing his character, seeing how he wants us to live righteously and morally. And understanding comes when we apply the things that we've learned. You won't understand until you start trying to apply the very things that God has spoken to you through other people, through whatever vessel you choose to listen to. I was a big Joyce Meyer fan when I first got saved. That was my girl. Joyce Meyer was it. And now my understanding of the word is higher, so now I'm thirstier than ever to receive more and more from God. You know, you start having an unquenchable thirst that seems like you're just thirsty for everything in the book, everything in the Bible, and everything you do is read and read and read and read and live the life that you read. Apply the life that you read. Let that wisdom of God take over your thoughts. You know, that's what changes us. That's what makes us better. That's what builds us. We have to let go of certain relationships that don't benefit our spirit. How many times have we come in contact with people that we know we shouldn't have a relationship with? That we feel like, Lord, you know, I know this person is bad for me, but there shouldn't even be a but in there. You know, we have to let go of those relationships. Someone can be a great person to be around. However, when this person is someone who only speaks death, you know, only speaks death or things that are not godly, gossiping, backbiting, and their spirit is unclean. They're like vultures who seek only the dead things to sustain themselves. How many times have we been outside and we see vultures just circling around in the air? Okay? They're just there circling, waiting for whatever it is they're watching to die. They need things that don't edify, build, or attract the spirit of Christ. That's what those people live for. We have to be so in tune with Christ that those very things don't attract us. So like when I was saying, the vultures, when they fly around in the air and they start circling that thing that's going to die, they can sense and smell it. You see how high up in the sky that these vultures are? But yet they know that something is getting ready to die. They can sense it and they can smell it. Demonic spirits that come to tear you down and rip apart your spirit can sense when the Holy Spirit is not flourishing in you and when the Holy Spirit is grieved in you. We have to determine to fight and live life righteously. This is a fight that we're going to have to fight until the very end, until Christ comes back. We can't pick up this God, this loving God. We can't pick him up and then put him to the side every few hours or so when we feel like we want to come out and be in our flesh. We can't do that. It's a lifestyle that's supposed to stick. It's a relationship that's supposed to stick. When we start to give control to the devil and he has an open door to your spirit, your sight to see in the spirit becomes compromised. Now you don't see things like you used to. All of a sudden you don't see sin and carnality the way you once did when you started to learn who Christ was and is. That means we become desensitized to immorality. We become desensitized, and now everything seems right. If a person is gossiping, backbiting, or whatever it is they're doing, we don't even get bothered by it. We can be in the same room as that person. It doesn't vex our spirit. We don't get aggravated with it. We don't pay attention to it. It's like we become immune to it, you know? It's like when my kids were younger. When my children were small, you know, I had two of them that were 1 year apart. So you can imagine how my household was. You know, they would run around and run around and run around and make noise until they were so tired that they would stop. But you know what happened? I became immune to the noise.
I could watch a show on TV, a movie. I could be on the phone. I could have full-blown conversations with someone and not even think twice about what they're doing. I didn't even hear them. The other person was getting aggravated because of the noise. But for me, that noise became normal. See, the noise of the world becomes normal to you. You no longer care or feel any particular way about the unrighteousness that's going on. You start becoming one with it. And that's what we don't want to do. You know, now our prayer life all of a sudden has become extinguished because we became desensitized to the Spirit of God. We no longer even pay attention to the Spirit of God. I used to get unctions when I first got saved. You know, I would be at a wedding or I would be at a party or, you know, birthday party or whatever, and I would feel like, oh my gosh, I just got to leave because I just have to get into the Word. I have to. It's like I can feel God pulling me and I can feel God calling me. And that was the relationship that was building. It was an intense intimacy with God. You know, anywhere I was all of a sudden bothered and had to go because I had to be in my Word. I had to read. I had to worship. I had to pray. I had to talk to God. I would leave anywhere and anyone of where I was at just to be with the Lord. Because that's how the relationship was. It becomes like that lover that you miss, that person in your life. You know, when you start going out with somebody, you know, you get the cute little butterflies in your stomach. You know, you're all excited because you're going to meet with this person. You know, same thing with the beginning of when you start serving God, you start getting those butterflies. Oh, the Lord this, the Lord that, and it bubbles up inside of you and you want to spew out to everybody who's listening who the Lord is. And see, that relationship should be intensifying because now that relationship is pulling on you, you know. Oh, I'm going to go see my husband, meaning the Lord. I'm going to go meet with him. I'm going to have intimacy with him. I'm going to go read. I'm going to go pray, worship, be in his presence, talk to him, and let him talk to me. We would do whatever we could do to be with that person. That's how God expects us to be now. God expects us to look at him and be like, you know what? I am your first love. I am the lover of your soul. I am the one who looks after you. I am the one that protects you. I am the one that covers you. Run to me. Be with me. Feel like I am your first love. Get the butterflies back in you to meet with him again. Because what happens when you don't do that? And when you stop and you allow your prayer life to become extinguished, see, now the mountains that you could once move when you first got saved and you felt like you were invincible. Oh, the word says if I have faith, I can move mountains. Well, what happens to that? Where does it go? We all of a sudden lose who Christ really is. You know, now those mountains become too big for our faith. Now we don't believe in the promises of God anymore because our love life with the Lord has been extinguished or is being desensitized. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The part that is so easily forgotten in that scripture is the part of submitting to God. Every time I hear someone quote that scripture, they say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What about the first part? What about the submitting to God part? Where is the submission to the Lord? To be ready and willing to submit at all times. You can't resist the devil and have him flee from you if you are not first submitted to God. Submitting to God is an attitude and not just an action. That's an attitude we take on. We are going to submit to God no matter what. And let me tell you something. I have faced some hard stuff in my life. I remember being at my mother-in-law's Spanish church that she was going to, and they had a Spanish prophet come out of town. I never met that man, never talked to him. And that man pulled me out from the audience and said, you know what? God wanted me to tell you that when you felt alone,
when you were being molested and raped, that he was there. He even broke down the times, who I got molested by and how many times. Now, my mother-in-law didn't know that either, so I know she didn't tell him. That was purely God letting me know that he was there. That is how come I didn't end up in the street. I didn't end up, you know, with my thoughts all messed up and on drugs and, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. God kept me through all of that. Praise God that he loves us that much, that he holds on to us like that, that he would rather go to the cross, give up his life, die, go through all that pain and punishment for me, little me. That's the same love that he has for all of us. None of us are more special than the other. We all count the same in the eyes of God. But thank God that he looks after me. Thank God that he took care of me. I could have got bitter. I could have said, well, why didn't he do something? But see, I didn't realize that now in the place where I'm at, in the place of a prophet, in the place of speaking into people's lives, I didn't realize that all that happened to me back then was going to train me for how to handle stuff right now. I didn't realize that so many broken women were going to come to me, revealing their lives to me without even knowing me, without even knowing really who I was, but they just knew that they saw something. They knew that I had the Spirit of God. They knew that God was in me. They could see it. They could sense it. They can feel him. I change the lives of women with the wisdom that God has given me on how to deal with that. I didn't realize I was going to have a ministry for women. I would have never, like I said, I would have never thought that I would be in the place that I am right now. But God saw fit to save Michelle Lopez. God saw fit to do something in the life of Michelle Lopez, a life that even my own family doesn't understand. My family looks at me and they talk about me to this day. They don't have any dealings with me, but they talk about me. But you know what God does? Pray for them. Pray for those that use you and hurt you, Michelle. Pray for those that you know don't have my spirit. Pray for those that they would come to me and I would be able to save their soul before time is up. See, sometimes we get wrapped up in our own world and we don't realize that somebody else's life may be cut short. And we had the chance to minister to them. We had the chance to talk to them, but we were too busy or we didn't think highly enough of ourselves. We didn't think, oh, well, God is using me. Sometimes God will give you words to speak to someone else and you have no idea why you even say it. But it means something to that other person. That other person all of a sudden realizes only God can really know because I never told a soul. And now they're curious of who this God is. And that's your opportunity to minister and to witness. That's your opportunity to show them who God really is and why he is the way he is. We have to choose to do right. In all that we do, being right, obedient, living our lives as a living sacrifice, that's what we are, living sacrifices unto God. We must be ready to turn away from all the things that make us question who God is, question his power and what he's able to do in our lives. The only way the devil can seem greater than God is if we give him the power to. So now you know the power is in your hands. God can rule over everything and anything, but it's up to us. If we stand up to the enemy and refuse to fall in the traps of depression and suppression, he will not be able to penetrate your thoughts. If we allow the devil to have his way in our thought life,
he will allow a demonic spirit called the squid, which is a squid spirit, to make you mentally unstable and double-minded. I know doctors call stuff schizophrenia. They have all these different legal terms for it, but that's really the squid spirit that makes you mentally unstable, that makes you mentally double-minded. You become mentally challenged in a way, so to speak, because you all of a sudden don't know what's what. After all this time you've been living for Christ, you all of a sudden are unsure of who he is. Your thought life has become penetrated. We have to be obedient to God in order for our thought life to be pure. In the Strong Concordance, the Greek word for obedience is hupakō. It means to hear under as a subordinate. That is to listen attentively by implication, to heed or to conform to a command or authority. For those of you who want to know, that word is spelled H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. Again, it means to hear under as a subordinate. That is to listen attentively by implication, to heed or to conform to a command or authority. We are choosing to be obedient to the higher authority, which is God. The prosperity of a person's calling is up to God, but the obedience to God in the calling is up to you. Say that one more time. The prosperity of a person's calling is up to God. The obedience to God in the calling is up to you. That is a choice that we make. God gives us all an assignment, but we have to choose to be obedient to him and the assignment. I can be obedient to God but still misuse my calling. I can be obedient to God and as a prophet still misuse my gift that God has given me. So I have to choose to be obedient in both the higher authority and the calling. I have to respect the gift that God has given me, take care of it, nurture it like if it was a baby, because God has given that to me specifically. That's my assignment. That's what I have to do. It is in that that God is going to minister to other people. It is in that that God is going to show you how to have conversations with other people, show you how to live your life in a way that means something to someone else who's watching you. Because that's one thing I come to learn too. We never know who's really watching us, who's really listening to us, who's keeping an eye and dibs on what we do and what we say, to who and when. So that is up to us. We have to be willing to look past our faults and shame that we were once dealing with before our salvation. Because I know that that was one thing that used to get me. Well, God, how can you use me with everything that I ever did? With all the stuff that I've done, with all the stuff that I said, with all the ways that I treated people, how can you even choose me? How can you even want to use me? But see, thank God for Jesus, because that's where he comes and he cleans you. He lifts you. He builds you. He restores you. He renews you. He edifies you. He makes you feel like the most important person on the planet, on this earth. He makes you feel like you're the only one that ever existed and ever matters, even though he treats us all equally. Isn't that something? We all matter, but yet we're treated like we're the most important person to him. That's how involved he is. That's how involved he wants to be. This is when deliverance from something happens in your life. See, in order for me to get delivered from the things that I used to think about my own self, I had to be willing to confront that thing. I had to be willing to look that thing in the face and say, that is not who I am. That is not what defines me. God defines me. His spirit defines me. Who he is in me defines me. not what people think of me, not what people say about me, not what people want to go and gossip about me. None of that matters, but only what God thinks and what God wants and how God feels. Because he is the only one who will never mistreat you or misuse you. He is the only one who will never talk bad about you, but instead talk better about you. He's the only one that will lift you instead of casting you down. He's the only one that will rebuild your soul instead of tearing it apart. See, when you have the Spirit of God residing in you and that intimacy has taken place, the characteristics of God now become who you are. They now become who you seem to be, who you talk like. Well, I talk like God. I act like God. I minister the way God used to minister to people and how he still ministers to people through other people. I am that person. I am the one that he's seeking for. I am the one that he died for. I am the one that he went and took all the debt of this thing called life for. So I didn't have to pay it my own self. He paid it all. So if everything is covered by the blood of Christ, if everything is done with the intention that God has covered it, has removed it, he doesn't even remember your sins. That's how involved he is with your life. Yeah, he knows about it. He saw it when you were doing it and still doing it if you are doing it. But he loves us enough to cover us even through that. And yet we want to take the time to not even recognize our own power and authority given to us by Christ. Our power and authority gets stolen from us. We no longer become conformed to how God thinks. We become conformed to the way the world thinks. And God wants you to conform your mind to the way he is, to the power and authority that he gives. Obedience to God comes from a willingness to want to sacrifice the flesh, okay? To sacrifice the flesh and do what is our reasonable service as Christians, which is to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So you already know anything that is not a characteristic of God is living according to the flesh. No matter how mild it may seem, no matter how little it may be, we have to get connected to God and allow him to tear down your will and rebuild his will in you. Because when you let him tear down your will, that me, that I, that pride, that I'm going to, it's all about me, all of that goes away. It now becomes, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you say, whatever you want to do. That's what God is looking for to do in all of us. He wants to rebuild his will in our lives. That way our righteous living is just that, righteous. When we surrender all control over to God, we become his consecrated vessels and are given power and authority to carry out God's will and plan for our lives. This is how you receive the outpouring of heaven. When you submit everything that you are and plan to do to God. Everything I could ever say, everything I can ever do, everything I ever want to do or say is all surrendered to you. Do what you want with it, Lord. Have your way in me, God. See, we say that too often and too loosely. Have your way with me, God. You know, send somebody. Send me, God. I'm ready. But are we really ready? Are we really ready to be surrendered in that capacity to God? Are we really ready to put ourselves on the back burner and make everybody else first when we live in a world that's all about selfishness and I and me? Are we really ready to do that? Can we do that? See, when you seek God and you have that intimacy, yes, you can. All of that can be surrendered to him. All of that can be turned around. Christ is a foundation that cannot be shaken. That means no matter what hell tries to do to you, it's just like in the story of Job, how Satan went and kept trying to tempt God. Look, how about this guy? How about him? How about Job?
God's like, well, go ahead. Do what you want. Just don't touch him. Don't kill him. Don't try to kill him. But you can take stuff away from him. You can do stuff that will rip his insides out. But just don't touch him. He's covered. I'm covering him. And I have so much faith in Job that he's not going to turn his back on me, that I will give you full access to him. Do what you want in his family. Do what you want to his kids. Take away his cattle. Do all of that. Because I have that much belief and faith in my son that he's not going to turn his back on me. God loved us so much that we were given the Holy Spirit to help us live righteously, have edifying thoughts, and fill us with that purpose. And he directs and guides our steps so that we won't be hindered. See, when we're being hindered in our lives, we need to look at ourselves and examine ourselves. What in my life is not surrendered over to God? What in my life am I not being obedient in when it comes to God? Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, so he's in there doing what he does, comforting us, building us, helping us, guiding us, helping us make decisions, and yet we're hindered. How so? The Holy Spirit has communion with heaven. So therefore, we shouldn't be hindered. And when we are hindered, that's when we should be running to Christ even more. Sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's an attack on your child. Sometimes it's an attack on a family member who you're close with that hell can't get to because of you. Because your prayers have been covering that person. So now they got to do what they got to do to try to get around you. So if it means trying to come in and wreck your thoughts, if it means trying to come in and tear you down, that's what Satan and everything in hell will do to try to get to that person that you're covering. Because the same power that's covering you, which is Christ, is the same power that is covering that person, which is Christ. Through your prayers. That person may not even be saved, but God knows what the end result will be. God knows whether in the end that person will really turn around and give their life to him. He knows that. We don't know that. So our job is to cover people with prayer. Cover people, edify people, build people as if we were talking to one of our own, as if you're talking to another saint. Never look at an unbeliever like they don't mean anything or you don't know where their life is going, because the truth is you really don't know. That person might be the next Benny Hinn. That person might be the next Joyce Meyer. That person might even be the next person to be in ministry with you. Some of us are given the ministry of helps to do exactly that. Be that helper, like the Holy Spirit is the helper to you. Love is not only something you feel, it's also something you do. I can't just say I love you. I have to show you I love you. So when I say I love you, Lord, I have to show the Lord that I love him. That means putting myself last and doing all that he wants. That means I'm on that altar, laying Michelle out on that altar every day to make sure that she doesn't rise up, but that God is the one in control. And in the one rising up. Having communion with God in prayer, worshiping, reading the word, and living in obedience will no longer feel too complicated to do, but rather it will become a natural part of surrender. See, this anti-corona thing we got going on right now, this plague that we got going on right now, we need to look at the positive in it. See, God had to sit a whole bunch of us down because we were just too busy. I don't have time. I have to work. Then I got to go to daycare. Then I got to get the kid. Then I got to cook. Then I got to go to the store. Then I got to do this. And God's like, please don't leave me last. Make me first. Because when you make him first in your day goes right. When you put him last, everything else in the atmosphere has full reign to try to attack you, try to get you, try to put you down, try to make you feel unimportant, try to make things go wrong. But see, when we get up from that bed and we cover ourselves with the power and authority of Christ, my God, there's nothing that can stop or hinder you. They can do all they can. Hell can do all it can to try to attack, try to manipulate, try to make you fall out of place. But when you're covered with that power and authority, my goodness, that power and authority blankets you. That power and authority covers you. That power and authority fills you. Your conversations become too powerful. The thoughts you have, because they're thoughts on Christ, become too powerful for Satan to manipulate. You become so covered, it's like you got a force field, a Holy Ghost force field all around you, protecting you, shielding you from all these different attacks. We have to become surrendered and be intimate to God. We have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves. Amen. So, Father God, as your people were listening, Father, I ask you, Lord, to cover them, Father, with your authority. Cover them with your power. Cover them with your strength. Cover them with your mercy and grace that follows them, Father God, every single day of their lives, Father. That everything that became too complicated or too hard will all of a sudden be uncomplicated and won't be hard, Father God. That you give them the guidance, God, to deal with everything that they're dealing with on a daily basis that is not of you. Father, shield our minds from the squid spirit. Shield us from the very thought that will tear us down. Shield us from the very things that will hurt us, Father God, both spiritually and physically. We surrender it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. That was amazing and a timely word, and I thank God for his grace and his mercy. And it's funny, I actually went to open up the scripture, and my whole Bible app has decided to just shut down. Amen. So give me 2 seconds. I'm going to have to grab the paper Bible. How about that? Amen. You know, God is so good at this. The woman of God was talking about intimacy with the Lord. You know, a lot of times we think about the goosebumps of intimacy, but really it is about walking through the window of obedience. Amen. And so that means keeping his commandments. The word says, those who love me keep my commandments. Amen. And so a lot of times as body of believers, sometimes we can get comfortable where we're at, and then once comfortability sets in, you can end up allowing things in that are not pleasing to God. So we always want to allow that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be able to do that check and do that sifting and do that purifying and do that cleansing. It's a continual work that the Spirit of God does. And the Lord began to show me Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And I'm reading from the ESV version. It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Father God, right now, and we join in the song of heaven. Blessings and honor, glory and might forever and ever. Amen. We believe, Father God, that this word was timely to release your glory, to release your honor, to release your might, to release your
power. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, you are calling every knee to bow, every tongue to confess, that you are Lord. You are Lord. You are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain. You are the power, the wealth, the wisdom, and the dominion of earth and heaven. We give you the honor due to your name tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not the end, but the beginning of all things. You are bringing reset. You are bringing recalibration. You are bringing conviction of the heart where conviction needs to be. You are changing some things. You are causing our hearts to be supple again. You are causing our minds to be brought back to right standing. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Hallelujah. You are doing something, Father God, that cannot be undone in your people. Lord, you, for those who have chosen to hear you and to heed you, we know that we will never go back to church as usual. Hallelujah. Because there is a cry of our spirit, like the woman of God said, a cry for more, a cry for deeper, a cry for less of me and more of you, Lord. And so, Father, tonight I pray that your people that are going to hear this broadcast and your people that are going to that are on the line even now, Father God, that they will that impartation of the cry of the Spirit of God to go deeper, to chase harder, to run after you with all that they have, begins to be imparted, Father God, and that nothing else will do. We bless you. We give you all of the glory. For every living creature and the elders' voices, the angels and all of creation, Christ, holy is the Lamb who was slain. Thank you. And we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so at this time, we're going to begin to open up the phone line. I'm going to start with the line that ends with 7818. 7818. The line is yours. How are you this evening?
Seven eight one eight.
Okay, we're going to move on. Line ending in 6215. God bless you. 6215.
God bless you.
God bless you.
How are you? I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good.
I just want to thank I'm a friend of Michelle's. I just want to thank, you know, the Lord for, well, Michelle, allowing the Lord to use her this evening. And she really has helped me to understand more about what God expects from me. And I just wanted to thank her for that. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. God bless. Amen. Okay. Line ending in 2129. God bless you. Okay, amen. I know some of you might be at work. So okay, praise God. Next line, 3665. God bless you. Okay, praise God. We have some shy people on the line tonight. Amen. Well, I pray that the word has blessed you with the blessings that will make you rich and add it. No sorrow with it. And woman of God, I am going to preface this call with saying that I would like you to tell the people of God how they can get to know you a little better, where they can find you, and how they can give tonight.
Amen, amen. I am on Facebook under, well, it should be under Michelle Lopez, M-I-C-H-E-L-L, Lopez. And also the way to give, I have two ways. I have PayPal, which is paypal.me/LL M like Mary, I. And also the Cash App, which is $ Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L, 7513.
Amen, amen. And for anyone who chooses to give through Prophetic Winds, paypal.me/Prophetic Winds, or Cash App, which is $Leticia, spelled L-A-T-S-H-I-A, Gartner, G-A-R-D-A-N-E-R, Smith, S-M-I-T-H. If you decide to give through Prophetic Winds, anything that is given to Prophetic Wind will be going to the speaker on tonight. Amen. And I thank you for each and every one of you who is coming. We are on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. So please tell those who you know that their word being released. Amen. Next week is going to be hot like fire. So let me make this very clear. We do have a little bit of shifting going on for next week. We will be offline Monday and Tuesday, because next week we will be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Normally we are on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next week we will be on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It just happened to be the way that my speakers were able to be on. And the speakers that I have coming on next week, I absolutely wanted these individuals on for next week. Next week is going to be what I'm going to call the week of the mothers and the fathers. These are going to be the elders in the spirit for this ministry, Prophetic Winds. They are going to be coming to release nuggets and wisdom. And my biggest surprise is one of my spiritual fathers who just an amazing man of God, Apostle Ted Howard. He's going to be with us Friday night. I am actually going to be teaching on Wednesday evening, and I have a surprise for you on Thursday evening. Amen. So it is going to be the week of wisdom. And the Lord began to speak to me, and one of the reasons why we are having this call and the reason why the Lord has deactivated this ministry for such a time as this is that the people of God need something to put their teeth in. Amen. This is not going to be milk on this line. And it's time to get off the bottles and the sippy cups. And the Lord wants to empower his people to be able to sit at the table and cut a nice steak. Amen. And so I definitely have some heavy hitters. We've already had some heavy hitters come on. But God has got some real plans for the next 3 to 4 weeks. If you are not connected to Prophetic Wind Ministries, you can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/Prophetic Wind Ministries. We are a global ministry. We are blessed to have been in 8 states, 5-6 nations. We thank God for the influence and opportunity that he's given us. But this is a season where it's not about us as a ministry. This is about what the ministry can pour out to the people. And many of the people that you are going to see coming onto this line, you'll notice they are full. They are full of wisdom. They are full of nuggets. They are full of what God has spoken, because this is the season of the outpouring. Amen. And the outpouring is coming to the spoken word. And so I thank God for that. So, again, please share the number, share the time. Again, it will be normally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Next week, it will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We always take three of the days a week to impart and to release. Amen. And so I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for Prophetess Michelle, who also happens to be one of and the BFF in my life. Amen. And I was very, very blessed to hear the word of God pouring out of her in this season, because it is time for the Lord to release so that he can refill. So excited to see that outpouring of God's Spirit pouring from her to the people of God. And let me tell you something, I've never been worried about numbers and all of that there, but we have been blessed to reach 1.1K with this little line, with just a handful of saints that believe God for real. Amen. And so keep praying for this ministry. Keep praying for one another. Do not be distracted about what's going on and what isn't going on. God has a plan and includes each and every one of you. And so at this time, I'm going to release the line. I thank God for each of you. And I will see you next week, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I thank God for each of you. Again, if you need to reach us, facebook.com/prophetic wind ministry. God bless you and good night.
Never.